Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick and Callie Crossley with you, filling in for John Hockenberry. Well, it's no surprise that President Obama and Hamid Karzai of Afghanistan, well, they don't get along very well. But what might be a surprise is that the Obama administration is now considering a faster timetable for withdrawing all U.S. troops from Afghanistan by the end of next year. The White House has long hoped to end U.S. involvement in Afghanistan by December 2014, but it had planned to leave a small American force behind. But now, after failed peace talks between the Karzai government and the Taliban, that timetable might be very different, with potentially very serious consequences for the future of Afghanistan. Joining us is Matthew Rosenberg, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. You've got some reporting on this in the pages of The Times. You describe how the relationship between Hamid Karzai and President Obama has deteriorated, helping to lead to this no troops option. This isn't personal, is it?
No, I think it takes on personal overtones because the two leaders do have to speak to one another. But this frustration runs much deeper. You know, there are very stiff positions that the Afghan government has sketched out on what it wants from the U.S. in exchange for keeping this force here. And, you know, on the Afghan side, too, the Afghan government will say, look, President Karzai and others have said for a very long time what we want, and the U.S. just doesn't listen to us, and they're going to have to live with it. And, you know, the frustration is really on both sides. And, you know, but there is a personal element there. These are two men who do not get along, who do not like each other. When Bush was president, there was a much better relationship, partly because President Bush and President Karzai got along. They spoke warmly together of each other and apart, and it worked in a way that it doesn't work right now.
You described as one of the antecedents to this option, this no troops option, a conference call between the two leaders last month that ended badly.
From what we've been told, it went extraordinarily badly. The conference calls have never been warm, jokey affairs between Mr. Obama and Mr. Karzai. But in this case, Karzai basically accused the U.S. of working towards the same ends of the Taliban and helping the Taliban in Pakistan to kind of reassert some control in Afghanistan at the cost of the government that the U.S. has helped set up in Afghanistan. And, you know, this is something President Karzai has said in the last few months, but he's said it to audiences in Afghanistan. He's complained to his aides or said it in meetings with envoys. He's never said it virtually face-to-face with the leader of the U.S., and that, I think, was a very big problem for the administration.
Karzai was upset over negotiations, very public start of ribbon cuttings and negotiations with the Taliban in Qatar that came up last month. And as you just described, that the United States is sort of leaving his fragile government exposed to his enemies. But if the White House is seriously considering now a no troop option after next year, does Karzai have a point? Will his fragile government be more exposed to the Taliban and elements in Pakistan that are unfriendly to his interests if there are no U.S. boots on the ground there?
It's hard to see how they wouldn't be. Because with the no U.S. troops option, is likely to come a whole lot less aid, both from the U.S. and from the rest of the international community. Most of the U.S. troops there were going to be there to do training for the Afghan army and the Afghan police with a small force that would do counterterrorism, go after Al-Qaeda, what was left of it. But the ANA, while it's gotten much, much better, still needs a lot of training, a lot of help. It doesn't have air support. Its use of mortars, which are really needed to keep the Taliban from massing and attacking things, is not very good and has trouble supplying its own troops still. But more importantly, there's a financial issue. When we left Iraq, you know, virtually spits money from the ground in oil. Afghanistan doesn't have that luxury. Afghanistan is due to get about $8 billion a year between civilian and military aid from the U.S. and European and other big donor nations in the next few years. So $8 billion a year. That's probably, I think I have to do a rough calculation, probably 60 to 70% of its annual government budget. It just doesn't have the money. Its total tax revenues are under $2 billion a year. It really needs a massive amount of assistance from the international community. And according to the IMF, we'll be needing assistance through 2032 at the earliest. So they do need some kind of enduring presence because that guarantees a financial commitment.
Is the financial presence that you're describing, the $8 billion a year, at risk? I mean, the troop threat is one thing. The money threat is another. Is there a money threat that we're threatening to withhold?
There definitely is. There definitely is. Is that if you don't have, you know, it's all kind of tangled together. If you don't have a troop presence, the amount of money that was going to be spent just isn't going to materialize in the same way, because by not having a troop presence, you're having much less of a commitment. You're saying we could not agree on a number of things, and therefore you know, we're somewhat going, we're going our separate ways in a much starker fashion. And with that will come financial ramifications. And the other big issue is there's an election there next year. And it's been made very clear that if the election is not what the international community likes to call acceptable, they don't even use the term free and fair anymore. They say acceptable to the Afghan people. If that doesn't happen, there's going to be massive financial repercussions.
At the same time, Matthew Rosenberg of the New York Times, just before we let you go here, you know, it is one thing to issue a threat like the no troop threat over a conference call that ends badly between two guys that don't like each other. It's quite another thing to turn to the press and sort of issue the threat in open public. I interpreted your story, at least from the perspective of the White House, as threatening Hamid Karzai in front of the world.
I can't really get too much into how we reported the story, but I can say that this wasn't a leak from the White House. In that sense, this wasn't a leak by people who were in favor of this. These were people. Yeah, that's about what I can say. Oh. But I wouldn't read it that way.
Well, that helps interpret sort of what's going on as two world leaders who are both extremely important don't get along. But this is about a lot more than just personalities, as you described. That's Matthew Rosenberg, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, Matthew.
Take care.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.